everyone. Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. It's our last episode before TechEd. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
Yeah, we've got a lot happening this week. Probably already seen some of what we're going to talk about, but let's kind of recap what's happening in Windows Azure world.
Yeah, so top story, if you will. Meet the new Windows Azure. So there was an event, Meet Windows Azure, 3-hour webcast. Lots of videos that are going up on Channel 9 about this event. Doing a drill down into the announcements, and there are a ton of announcements. So Scott Guthrie started the morning off and talking about a bunch of the new features. This goes and really just kind of thinking about the holistic picture of development, mm-hmm. new things that they're adding, new platforms and capabilities, things like ability to do Node.js applications.
Node.js, IaaS, so you can do VM roles now.
Yeah, big support in terms of VMs. So mm-hmm. it can be bring your own. Mm-hmm. So if you have an application, hey, we need to take this SharePoint application or this SQL Server app, a big SQL Server app, and yep. put it into the cloud, how do we do that? Well, you have your own VM images in the same way. Or you can just select from a gallery of ones. Hey, I want you guys to give me a VM image.
Including Linux.
CentOS, yeah.
There's Linux VMs up there. So yeah, really cool stuff. And then also this new Windows Azure websites. So you can actually now get started with Windows Azure for free. You can create, I think it's up to 10 of these Windows Azure websites that you can then scale up as you if you want to kind of pay more later on. Well, more than free, right? So yeah, really interesting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and there's just a ton of features that they've added. So including better APIs for Mac users, the portal, a bunch of things around .NET Framework caching and caching services, the ability to do reporting on all those services and being able to, even within a VM, be able to see where my CPU utilization is, where mm-hmm. my memory utilization is.
And let's not forget an SDK that works with Visual Studio 2012, which a lot of people have been asking for as well. So pretty hot stuff.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff to check out.
Yep.
And improvements in the portal as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is sort of the I'd say maybe more, what's the right word? IT pro-ish or hosting view on the Windows Azure services.
Yeah, it's the architecture view.
Yeah, so, and really it's about hybrid cloud. And what we're trying to say is that there's a mix of data centers. So some of this is going to be cloud, some of this is going to be hosted on-prem. They're going to be able to communicate securely, mm-hmm. and they're going to be able to take applications where in some cases I may need to run some services on the cloud, some on the client, and mix and match.
Yeah, and how do you think about having a VM that's running in the cloud and joining that to your local domain, for example? So all those types of things are possible with the hybrid cloud. So it really gives you the best of both worlds as you need to choose how you scale that up.
And another really interesting feature was VPN, which is the ability for you to actually build your own VPN service.
Right.
And I think that's actually interesting. Like, there's been a number of times when Australian developers are saying, hey, how can I watch the Olympics or whatever in terms of features? I could see there's new opportunities for somebody to build a startup around a DIY simple VPN that scales out.
Not that we're going to comment on the legality of any of that, but, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the origin of the website has to be from the U.S., so somebody else can figure out the legality of that. But the point is VPN is such a common thing, and to be a VPN as a service, mm-hmm. I think is a really nice touch.
Yeah.
And same thing with talking about all the features that we have in terms of management of those VM roles as well. So a ton of new things coming out with Azure.
Great. So check out the announcements and download the new bits.
Yes.
And get started for free if you're not already on Windows Azure. So Windows Phone recently hit a milestone here, which is that they passed the 100,000 application mark. And so this is a really nice momentum piece. It talks about the amount of time it took Windows Phone to hit 50,000 apps. I think it was 14 months, if I'm not mistaken. And then in another 5 months after that, they were able to cross the 100,000 app threshold. So what that means is by the year 2015, I think they're estimating we'll have 3 trillion applications. So that's something like 100 million apps for every person on the planet. I don't know. I'm just making that up. But really, it's kind of nice to see the momentum. Kind of nice to see that you know, it's all about the developers. There's something like 28,000 unique developers out there that have apps running in the marketplace today. Now, that doesn't mean that 100,000 are available from each geo, because there's some geo limitations on some of the apps out there. But I think they said something like better than 80,000 apps are available from the majority of the geos out there.
Yeah, definitely cool stuff.
Yeah.
Jason Zander talking, this is kind of like his regular roll-up post. There's a lot of cool stuff in here. Kind of, what was some of the stuff that you really liked?
Well, so what I like about this list of posts is that you know, we saw all the announcements last week. DRC is available, and you could go download the bits and everything else. But because there was an embargo from kind of Microsoft in terms of talking about the release of DRC, now all the different individual teams have free reign to go out and blog about them. So you see some roll-ups here, like one from Hanselman, where he talks about what does this mean for web developers. You see one from Brian Harry, what does this mean for ALM and TFS developers. So this is not necessarily any huge new groundbreaking news, because of course it is DRC, which is mostly what we had in beta. But of course there's some ways that we've changed, reacted to feedback from beta. There's ways that we've added some fit and finish features here and there. So it's a nice time, if you haven't already dipped your toes in the water with Visual Studio 2012 RC, or even if you have, it's a nice thing to go through these posts, which are relevant to you, and find out which ones really affect the way that you develop applications.
Cool.
Yeah.
So another one, setup improvements for Visual Studio. So what are we talking about here?
Yeah, so setup has really gotten a lot of focus for this release. And so one of the things that you can do with Visual Studio 2012, for example, is if you installed the Visual Studio, well, it's called the Visual Studio 11 beta at the time, and you're upgrading to Visual Studio 2012 RC, as long as you have the same edition installed, so like Pro to Pro or Ultimate to Ultimate, you actually don't have to do an uninstall, or let me say you shouldn't have to do an uninstall in order to get everything installed. You can just rerun setup and it does an in-place upgrade. So that should save you a lot of time if you're upgrading from one release to the other. And the same scenario is going to be true going from the RC to RTM bits. But you should know that if you're going from beta to RTM, that scenario is not supported. So you should go stay on that train, if you will, or be prepared to do an uninstall, reinstall. There are some edge cases out there where we're discovering that the in-place upgrade going from beta to RC doesn't work as intended. This is obviously the first time we've done this before, so thanks for bearing with us if you found yourself stuck in that situation. But the intent here is that moving forward, you will be able to just take advantage of this in-place upgrade and make it a lot easier. For those of you that are managing TFS installs, if you're going from TFS beta, TFS 11 beta to TFS 2012 RC, you will have to do an uninstall, reinstall, but the plan is for going from TFS 2012 RC to TFS 2012 RTM, that you should be able to do an in-place upgrade.
Sweet.
So this is something a lot of people have been asking about for a long time, and it's great to see that the setup team continues to invest in that. We know that, you know, Visual Studio is a huge release. There's a lot of tools in there. There's a lot of interdependent parts, but it is something that the team takes very seriously.
Awesome. One of my favorite things is the storyboard shapes. And we've talked about some of the features for storyboards, and this is the PowerPoint features coming in Visual Studio 2012.
Yeah,
for applications, and these are kind of categories of icons.
Yeah, that's right. So if you've installed Visual Studio 2012, either Test Pro, Premium, or Ultimate, and you open up Office, you'll notice, or open up PowerPoint specifically, you'll notice that you have this new PowerPoint storyboarding add-in that gives you a bunch of shapes for creating Windows applications, web applications, Metro-style applications, and
it's touch-enabled apps.
Yeah, that's right. So it's really nice for being able to just get in there and rapidly prototype. And it turns out that PowerPoint's actually a really good surface for this, because it already supports things like layouts, which give me that kind of master pages.
I want a line center. I want a line middle. I want a
alignment. It gives me animations. It gives me, like, one of the things people ask me all the time as I'm showing off this feature is they say, well, what about Sketchflow, or what about Visio, or what about XYZ storyboarding tool that's out there? And those tools are great, and if you're using them and they work well for you, keep using them. But then if you need to send one of these storyboards to somebody else and ask them to make some quick edits to it and kind of send it back to you, I can send my mom a PowerPoint deck, and she's the least technical person in the world, but she knows how to, like, do simple PowerPoint animations and get in there and make edits.
I love that you're sending your mom storyboards for her to review before your talks.
Yeah, So anyway, it's a really nice tool for that. It's kind of, I like to call it democratization of storyboarding, just because it makes it easy for everyone to get in there and create storyboards.
There's a lot of people that have experience with PowerPoint.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than needing to learn a new tool, they can use the tool that maybe they're already using.
Exactly. And so what this story is this is a new gallery on the Visual Studio Gallery that is just full of additional shapes that you can download and start using with the PowerPoint storyboarding tool.
Mm-hmm.
So we expect this to grow over time. In fact, I believe we're taking community contributions. So if you want to build shapes for Android or iOS, or I keep trying to get Pete Brown to build those Commodore 64 shapes for us, then you can build those. There's also, as part of this, there's also a PowerPoint storyboarding power tool that you mm-hmm. can get as well, because you can go in and you can create your own custom tools just by composing a bunch of composite shapes and then saving that as a custom shape. But the storyboard shape power tool allows you to go to the next level, which is to say, hey, when I vertically resize this shape, you know, this button shouldn't resize with the rest of the shape and it should stick at the top, but the rest of it should.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets you, allows you to build some really nice shapes that you can reuse and share with your friends.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great stuff. So this is, you know, we love ourselves some free stuff. And this is a free ebook, Programming Windows 8 with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. So the idea is, and I think the first four chapters are available now, but there's going to be, I think it's 18 full chapters in this version, and it does work with Visual Studio 2012 release candidate. But the idea, and the author, sorry, is Craig Brockschmidt. Hopefully I got his name correct. It's a free ebook. And in different formats as well. And obviously the chapters are right now available in PDF and you can just download directly.
Yeah, that's
but it's,
cool.
But it's to, you know, everything that you want to do in terms of how applications work and then the specific features of an application, building your first app for JavaScript and WinJS applications.
Especially if you're doing the HTML5 and JavaScript approach. I've seen a lot more samples actually for C# and XAML. Lately, I think that's just where the majority of the Microsoft developer community is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're coming at it from the HTML5 and JavaScript angle, this is a good place to start.
Cool.
So this is my friend Shai Ratam, and actually we have a similar post from
David Izbiski.
Thank you. And these are their personal experiences moving their Metro apps from the beta to the release preview. And so this is not official Microsoft guidance, if you will, but these are just their experiences moving their own applications forward. And I like the transparency here about how they went through and actually started with their beta apps. And then I think Shai mentioned, for example, that he found it was just easier to start a new file, new project, and then start bringing in his resources. Or maybe that was Dave that mentioned that, as opposed to just trying to run F5 the application and fix all the errors. So I thought that was a nice approach. Just two different ways of moving from beta to RC.
Cool. And the idea behind this next story is building mobile modern web applications, a reference implementation. So there's a number of things when you're building an application using HTML5, CSS3, and JavaScript that you're going to want to do for building applications. And this is basically the guidance to be able to do that. So
from our friends in Patterns and Practices,
from Patterns and Practices,
a little thing or two about writing guidance.
Sure, exactly. And you know, you're talking about things like viewport or what tags are actually supported by browser, what the right experience is for that, how to handle touch gestures. There's just a number of things within there that developers are going to want to know.
Yeah, especially if you're writing code that needs to run on an audio box, there's some edge cases that you should be aware of. They're mostly HTML5 compliant, but there are some tags they don't support over there.
Okay, so, all right.
Anyway, check out the guidance.
Next story is a fun one. So it's using analyzing some big data using C#, Azure, and Apache Hadoop. So, and really, it's using a Stack Overflow .NET namespace popularity finder. So the cool thing is Stack Overflow has a API that you can pull in the body descriptions and titles.
Of all the posts on Stack Overflow.
Yeah, I think in this example, I think they're doing the top 1,000 or something.
Okay.
Right? So the idea behind that is this application sucks it in, does a regular expression to be able to extract that, and get a count of how many times, say, system.collections.generic is used, or system.collections.objectModel, and then basically does the summary of, which I think is a really cool idea, just in terms of like, wow, .NET framework team, look how many questions you have in this, and how many people are using this. Is it an issue of this is more popular than this, or are there issues with this API, and so on. But the point is, it walks through how to do it. You know, it's really just building a console application in C#, and how you go through the process of setting up Hadoop on Azure. HadoopOnAzure.com is actually the website, and walking through the process to be able to dump that data out and be able to work in Hadoop.
So what's the punchline? What's the most popular namespace, do they say?
I remember one, system.collections.objectModel, I think at 31 or so.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. It's a good one. but yeah, if you never looked at Hadoop, you know, it's really about MapReduce and aggregate and so on kind of functions, right? So give me this big list, count how many things there are, for example.
Cool.
So cool stuff.
And I see another one in here, the top 500 cool MSDN links from Stack Overflow posts. Is that just a similar sample there?
Yeah, well, it's a previous post on how to run a MapReduce jobs.
Oh, I see.
So it gives probably, you know, more detail.
Got it. So time for picks of the week. So my pick of the week, this is great. You know, I do a lot of evangelism of the agile planning and tracking tools within TFS. And so I get into these interesting discussions, and you find out, you know, the kind of the conflicts between project managers and developers, and the like lessons that you learn pretty early on is that when a developer says that they're 80% done, that means they really haven't started. Or maybe they've like installed Visual Studio and like done file new project, and so they say that they're 80% done, really. And so I thought this was a cute little translation table that Anders put together here. This is Anders Abel. And so, for example, if a developer tells you that it's going to take him 30 seconds to do something, and he describes it as, well, it's just a small change, I need to go, you know, I know exactly what I need to do, really that translates to an hour. So so I think this is good for project managers to kind of, you know, sit there and do their mental translations as they're trying to understand when developers are actually going to be done.
Sweet. Love it. I thought this was hilarious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the 30 seconds becoming an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
That's classic.
Yep.
So my pick of the week, and again, it's promotion for all of you at TechEd. We are going to have the Project Detroit car available. You all will be able to
drive it.
No. No, it turns out you can't drive in a convention center. I know. Gasoline, all that good stuff. And we're going to have our boxing robots there. And Brian Peake and I are giving a Connect session, and Clint Ruckus and Rick Brazza are going to be helping out at that session as well. So it should be a good time by all. We'll be bringing the robots to the actual session, too.
Nice. So I can't drive the car, but I can sit in it. I can play with the displays.
Look, you can automate and drive boxing robots and punch another robot. What else do you want? Why is that not good enough for you?
I don't know. I'm going to be there all week, man. That's like good enough for day one. I want to drive the car. But seriously, I mean, the car, like, I can play with the dashboard and, like, everything I saw in West Coast Customs.
Yeah, I think some of the stuff will basically be having to do, and I think they're trying to set up something where people can take pictures in the car, which is the big thing, and then demo some of the parts.
Okay. Awesome.
So, yeah.
Sounds good. Well, we'll see you in Orlando. Those of you that are going to be there, come up and say hi. We'll be there the whole week doing Channel 9 Live.
Right? Yes.
We're doing that, what, Monday and Tuesday?
Yes.
And just Monday and Tuesday.
In between the breaks, there's a Learn Windows Azure.
Okay.
And a bunch of tracks going on as well. And some of that stuff will actually be on Channel 9 as well.
And the keynote, day one keynote, is being streamed.
Yes.
And day two keynote as well. All right. So lots of stuff for you to check out next week. I'm excited. I'm going to break out the swimsuit here and head down to hot Orlando. And we'll see you back on this week on Channel 9 in three weeks.
We have 1 week off.
We've got, that's right, 1 week off. Okay, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right, thanks.
Bye.